on hold. We are live.
Are we live? I am so happy to be here. Hi, everybody. It's me, Colette Baron-Marie, your fearless leader, and the most fantastic, fabulous teacher slash coach that I have met in a long time, Sarah Doherty, who is here. Say hi, Sarah.
Hi, everybody.
You can't see us, and there's a real reason for this. So I'm going to introduce what's going to be happening for the next month, and then I'm just going to hand it all over to Sarah. So some of you have sent in some comments already. I know quite a few of you have already done this before, and it's always fantastic to come and do it again if you want to learn something new. You never step in the same river twice. I believe you can keep repeating these things and learn something new every time. But I just want to kind of give you an indication of what, first of all, why we chose to do this on instant teleseminar rather than on a video call. And there is real reason for this. The Envision process, and many of you, I mean, obviously you're here because you're about to take shared wisdom or you have in the past. If you know that Get On Your Bird exercise, which is really a pivotal exercise in personal mastery and shared wisdom, you know that that's a process, like these envision exercises that I've taught you are processes that are intuitive and imaginative. So you need to go within and see inside your mind. And a video call can be quite distracting. And that's another reason why people close their eyes when they do these things, because it's within. And so the way we teach this is auditory, purposefully, so that you aren't distracted by the visual or by looking at something and then proprioceptive? Was that the right word?
Yeah.
Like the proprioceptive way that you experience your world is then geared to the visual as well. And we want to take that away. So this is why we use teleseminar. The other thing is the instant teleseminar, and it sounds fantastic and it's great. The other thing is a number of you were saying like, oh, is this only for coaches? So let me give you a tiny bit of a background about the course and why Sarah is the one teaching it. And I will say this to you. I trained up a lot of people. When I had my school, the Master Intuitive Coach Institute, and then I had a motorcycle accident and kind of had to unpack it. But I had some extraordinary, fantastic coaches that came in, some of whom had very, very, you know, like, Sarah, you have a lot of degrees, you're really well-educated. But some people really took to this like a duck to water and actually became better teachers at it than me. I tend to lack the structure. Or you guys love my style because otherwise you wouldn't be here. But I needed people that could teach this in a much more like micro, kind of a micro way where you could learn it rather. And me, I take the brush and go boom, boom, boom. And so Sarah was somebody who kind of moved up in the ranks and became a teacher in my school and then became the person that I chose. She actually helped rewrite the course and then became the person that I chose to teach it here. She's a very, very successful and amazing coach and has really understands this from a deep spiritual and psychological level and is able to teach it to you in such a way that you're going to get it. And FYI, she doesn't do drama. Like, I've never met anybody so grounded and doesn't give a shit. And can handle basically anyone. So hence, she is another reason why I have had her on this call. But you're going to have the best experience because she really is the best teacher. Like if I were to pick her or me to teach this, even though I'm the one that created the process, I will pick her. Hence why she's here, not me. So, no, it's true. You're amazing at this. And you'll get to talk to her in a second. So let me tell you a little bit about the Envision process. So if you have not read my book, The Map, the Envision process was first introduced in the book, The Map, as a concept of being able to see your internal emotional and psychological experience as a landscape that you were visiting or a place. So you would translate everything from a position of an observer, and then you would be able to identify where you were rather than say, I am angry, it's I'm looking at a landscape that represents anger. And then you'd be able to unpack it. And it's And there's such extraordinary ways that the unconscious mind is then able to bypass the subconscious and enter you into this incredible dialogue, which originated, by the way, from Carl Jung. He developed a process called active imagination, or he maybe didn't develop the process, he named it, which is exactly a component of this, and Sarah will teach you about that. Now, what does this all mean? Well, some of you actually think it's only for coaches, and absolutely not. You can do this process with yourself if you have kids. It is amazing. With little kids especially, they take to this like you wouldn't believe. We had people whose kids stopped wetting the bed when they learned how to do the Envision process. So it's for your family. It's for your husband. It's not for your dog. That's the only thing it's not for. It's for friends. So don't get hung up on the fact that this was a certification course we originally gave to coaches, if that's not something you'd ever want to do. This is something that's invaluable to help you get out of the stress response, like if nothing else. And it's creative and it's fun and you will like it. For those of you who are interested in coaching and learning how to take these kind of woo things that are being offered to you in Oracle School, like personal mastery and shared wisdom and this and becoming a certified Oracle guide, you can actually go and go pro and discover other ways of being able to use this in a healing arts profession, in a coaching profession, in, working as an intuitive and a million other things. So it's really something for everybody. So remember, don't compare yourself to anybody else in the room because you're all here for different reasons. But you can use this also across the board for different ways. But know this, there is a promise that when you learn this Envision process, it will teach you an imaginative way how to get out of that stress response where you've lost your mind and you're afraid or confused or don't know where to turn. And it enables you to get to this magical spot within your own mind just by moving your mind to be able to determine a completely new way of being because you have learned this process. So, Sarah, anything you'd like to add before I leave you to your fabulous group?
No, you did wonderfully. Actually, I had some notes on it. Now I don't have to cover that, so it's fantastic.
Great. So, so without further ado, I will hang up because I interrupt Sarah. We can't see each other because we're not supposed to. But I do want to say yet again, Sarah, thank you so much for agreeing. I know how busy you are, and you always do this at the beginning of the year for me, and I'm so grateful. People love you. They come back for you every year. So thank you so much for being part of Oracle School and continuing to be part of my world. I'm very proud to send you over now to the group.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate the opportunity.
All righty, and we'll talk again. Bye, okay. Everybody. We love you. Now it's to Sarah. I'm going to hang up now. Mwah.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Okay, thank you so much, Colette, for that great introduction. And I have posted on the Facebook page. It sounds like everybody can hear me, which is great. I do want to say it's going to be difficult for me to read and answer all the questions. I am flying solo with all of the technology during these calls. And so I have the Facebook thread where you can ask questions. But I do ask you to give me an opportunity to cover the material and see if I don't answer your questions first. And after I've done covering the material that was in the lesson for this week, then I'll open it up for questions and you can go ahead and, log on then and type in a question if you're on Facebook. If you're on the webcast, you can also type in a question. If you're on the web call, you can raise your hand. There's a little icon there that says raise hand. And if you're on the phone, it's going to be *2 to raise your hand. And I will cover that again when we get there. But just to, explain how the live calls are going to go, each week I'm going to cover the material that hopefully you've had an opportunity to look at in your Oracle School platform. And Colette presents this wonderful material in her way. And then I'm going to just go ahead and chime in and cover it again in different words, so that hopefully between the two of us and our two different styles, you're going to be able to really grasp all of the material and in a comprehensive way to be able to utilize it. So I'm going to clarify some things, I'm going to give some further examples, and then I'm going to, you know, open it up for questions after that. I'd also ask for those of you wonderful people returning, it's so nice to see all of these familiar faces as well. If you see some questions on the Facebook thread that you know that you could answer, I'd love it if you would join, you know, jump in and help me so that we can all be a nice cohesive group helping each other out. And I want to specifically give a shout out to all those people, especially our international students who aren't able to join a live call because of the time difference. Unfortunately, there's not much we can do with time zones. And so we have to pick the thing that works the best for not only me as a presenter, coach, and facilitator, but also for what works with Colette's team as well. So everything's recorded, and I monitor the Facebook page as often as I can. I'll get to every question. You'll know if I saw your question if I clicked like on it or if I've answered it. If I haven't clicked like, it means for some reason I didn't see it, and I'll get to it. It also helps if you want to go ahead and tag me. You can also search the Facebook page to see if there's any question. If you have a question that you think might have already been answered, you can go ahead and search the Facebook page under announcements, or you can also search the page for my name. So that might be able to help you answer questions as well. Again, since I'm kind of flying solo here, we have a great group of people who are willing to help each other, and we do want to really breathe into and feel all of us learning together. And we're learning together in a community. We're supporting each other for breakthroughs. And, you know, we're not at all in any type of competition. We're all helping us to become better, healthier, emotionally well, and able to help people more in our own lives in whatever form that takes together. So those are sort of the housekeeping items I wanted to make sure that I covered here before we get started. And then I was going to just tell you a little bit more about myself in addition to what Colette said. I did start with her in 2012, and I did begin teaching this with her and then for her in 2015. I'm one of the small handful of master trainers that she trained and does reference in the videos on Oracle School if you get a chance to listen to that. And in addition to training with her as an intuitive life coach, I also have a master's degree in pastoral counseling. I have another graduate degree in exercise physiology and cardiac rehab. And I also did some study in theology at the graduate level. I was kind of going for the mind, body, spirit conglomerate of training and preparation, as I do believe that's how we live our lives. And I feel that all came together in being a life coach. So when I came upon Colette and the Envision process, it really lit me up, and it helped me to realize that my intuition is a huge part of my intelligence, and it was underutilized as an asset in navigating life. And so it provided quick and clear insight for me that actually years of study and training didn't. And so I think you can sort of see that Colette and I have in common, she's a great researcher and studier as well, as you can see by the influences that went into her developing the Envision process in this first model, as well as really has amazing intuitive skills, and those come together in her personality. And in my personality, I do a lot of research. I'm very much left brain, but I'm also highly intuitive in a different way. And we sort of, she shines a little bit more in the right brain, and I shine a little bit more in the left brain, but we also are able to do both. And I sort of say that as an example that there's really any combination of our brains together, and any amount of training, a lot or a little, is able to pick this up. And I want you to see that everybody's style matters, and everybody's style adds something to the equation of life and gives a contribution to all of us becoming, you know, more active, happy, and collaborative people on this planet. So try not to compete with anyone. Try not to think that this isn't anything that you can't do. Be really, really grateful that you have such great leadership, primarily through Colette and then through her training of me, and for all of the support that you have around you, and utilize this to the best of your ability. Because 5 weeks goes by really quickly. We're together for a short amount of time, and we want to show up, you know, as best that we can and take what we can, and the best that we can absorb and learn and grow is through repetition, through showing up to pay attention, and then also releasing any resistance that we might have. You know, and vision can help us to do that. So those are just, you know, kind of the introduction part. Then I want to address now the videos and the teaching for this that is on the Oracle School platform. So if you've just joined us and you haven't been to your Oracle School, go on the Envision platform to Oracle School, click on your Envision, and go through lesson one, week one. And it's got like 9 or 10 segments to it. It does say in the beginning that we'll be together for 6 weeks, but we're not. We're going to be together for 5. It does say that this is for coaches, and that's actually why the final week has been dropped, because that was specifically for coaches, and we don't need to utilize that anymore. And it says that it's for coaches, but we are now using it for personal development. Since she doesn't have a coaching school, we don't want this wonderful, valuable tool to go to waste. We want as many people as possible to be, you know, introduced to it. And so you can use it with yourself. You can use it with your friends. You can use it if you are a coach, or if you are a counselor, or if you are a professional of some sort. By all means, you can try use it with your clients. We just don't allow you to teach it or to do it with groups. So, and then obviously Doug is not going to be with us, and our classes are starting at 7 instead of 8, but I think you guys have all figured that out by now because you're with me here. And so whenever you're listening to the content of the classes and you hear her use the word client, just say, think myself. Whenever using this with myself, then insert what she said to be applied to you. And that's just going to help you to learn the process well. We're also going to be utilizing study buddies, and I'll post a thread for that so that you guys can pair up and practice with each other so it's not just a solo project. That's what we all did when we learned it as coaches. We started as study buddies, and we started just practicing it on ourselves prior to doing it with any clients. So we're all learning it the same way that I originally learned it anyhow. So we just want to embrace it, go with it, and again, try to release any sort of blocks or resistance that you might have to really absorbing this wonderful, wonderful tool. Okay, that's all I have for introduction. I'm just going to check and see if there's any questions here that I think I need to answer at this moment. Thanks. I see people are jumping in to help answer questions. I appreciate that. And then I'm also just going to check on the webcast to see if there's any questions or anything so far there. Okay, yes, it looks like people are listening. That sounds great. Okay, so now I'm going to go right into the content. And what I want to say is she gives you this class doesn't really talk that much about the practical approaches, even though I am going to practice it with you, because we're going to go ahead and utilize the Get on Your Bird exercise, going a little bit more deeply with the Envision process today so that you get some examples of how to go deeper than just that original process that I'm pretty sure all of you are familiar with. And we're going to talk about the influences of it. When you understand how she put this together and the real depth and study that went into it, you can see how grounded it is, not only in practical application, but also in science and psychology. And you can get to see how this is such a beautiful tool that brings together all parts of our mind. So to start off, I am going to talk about the distinctions that we mean when we're in the Envision process, and that is, what is the difference between the conscious mind, the subconscious mind, and the unconscious mind? And so the conscious mind is anything that you can literally think, that you're actively thinking about, that you're looking at, that you can decide, and that you can take action on. And it's the smallest part of our mind. It really, you know, is the rest of our mind. The subconscious and the unconscious mind run most of the things, so that we don't have to pay attention to all of the data that we're being bombarded with all the time. Most of the data and the decisions that we have to make to use our conscious mind, like I'm going to buy this brand of coffee instead of that brand of coffee, that's a highly conscious decision. I'm standing there, I'm aware of my thoughts about it, I'm aware of what I'm choosing, and then I make a choice. That's a very conscious choice that I'm making. I choose to go this way instead of that way. I choose to go to a movie or not a movie. That's my conscious mind. I'm aware of my thoughts, I'm aware of what my choice is, and I make that choice. the second part of the mind, the subconscious mind that we're utilizing in this class, is everything that's programmed automatically. Now, the subconscious mind has been programmed, and it's anything that runs automatically. Largely, it's developed when we're young. It does get developed with a world view. It's highly slanted toward survival, and it's an automatic program that runs that we don't consciously know is running. Colette gives some great examples of that, about how we run into patterns that we see in our life, and we think, why does this keep happening? Why, even though I say consciously, I don't want to be attracted to this type of guy, and I feel like I chose a guy that's not like that, how do I keep ending up with that same guy, or that same job, or that same bank account, or that same pattern of anything? A subconscious pattern that we see show up in our lives over and over again, and we do not feel like we consciously chose that, that's the subconscious mind that we're talking about. And then the third component is the unconscious mind. Now, there's two ways to look at this. Anything that we're not deciding is unconscious to us. We're not aware of it. And so those programs that are running are also unconscious, but we're able to be aware of seeing the pattern. So that is true, that the subconscious mind is also unconscious because we're not aware of it, even though we can observe that we see the pattern running. But the way that we're utilizing it specifically with the Envision process is through the Jungian analysis of the unconscious mind. And we're talking about the collective unconscious. And in the collective unconscious, there's every thought, every idea, everything that's ever existed, all exists together in the collective unconscious. And what also exists there is everything yet to be known that has not been known. So I think we can all agree that what's true is that even though things weren't known before, they still existed. Examples of that would be, we didn't, before we discovered the telescope or something where we could study the planets and the galaxies and everything existed prior to us being able to see them and for us to be able to be conscious of them. That's just one example. And on the extreme of that would also be like bacteria, like the first person who figured out that they thought that disease was spreading from one person to the next person couldn't see the bacteria. They didn't have any evidence to show that there was something highly invisible that was too small to the human eye to see that was causing something to be contagious before we even learned the word contagious existed, right? So all of these concepts, as well as archetypes like teacher, gypsy, professor, student, master, novice, any type of personality trait, everything that could ever exist, all that lives in the unconscious. And whether we've lived them or not, we have access to it. We have access to everything that's in the collective unconscious. So that's the breakdown of the conscious, the subconscious, and the unconscious mind. Someone asked a question about where the ego is on that. And the ego in general is definitely a conscious thing. It's the one that tries to compensate for things. It's the one that decides this is how it's going to be. It does have some influence from the subconscious mind, but it's much more like when we say ego, the ego is the one that tries to have a personality and does it intentionally to be accepted. It's when we know we have put on a mask and we walk into the room trying to be somebody that we're not. That's more the ego. The ego is a large compensating mechanism, but it is conscious. It might be reacted to the subconscious mind, but it's still a conscious part of the brain. So hopefully that makes sense. Now, moving into, again, the influences on Envision that helped her to put these wonderful puzzle pieces together. The first influence was that she noticed this phenomenon of what's called coherence. And she noticed it as these patterns that showed up in her own life and in the life of her clients that came around, and having difficulty changing them just with our conscious effort. And it was through her own experiences as well as her observations. It's covered in Dr. Bruce Lipton's book as well as in Dr. Joe Dispenza's video. So I highly recommend that you look at that video with Dr. Joe Dispenza. He does wonderful work and has published more books even since the one she was talking about. And also Bruce Lipton's Biology of Belief would be helpful there. I'm going to give you my little spin on it so that you understand it from my perspective. So the subconscious mind's job is like a sorting hat. Its job is to decide for you in advance kind of what is important for you to see and to know and what is not important for you to see and to know. Because if we had to make a conscious decision all day long about all the information that we got, it would be too overwhelming for us. So the subconscious mind gets trained into taking care of that for us and letting it become automatic. So it starts to run automatically, and it helps us to know what we're paying attention to and what we're not. The subconscious mind is developed when we're very young. It's pre-language, it's pre-verbal, and it's also pre-context. And so it begins in our family of origin as a way to help us determine how to stay alive, what's safe and what's not safe for us, and what's important to us. And so any type of environmental situation, whether it was once or repetitive, that ended up feeling to the body like it was a threat is going to be part of the subconscious mind, because it's geared towards survival and it doesn't like new things. It just wants to keep us alive. And it gets reinforced then through habit as we go through life, particularly if we haven't taken a course like this and don't know how to interrupt it. It's also, you know, so we have a bias towards survival and we have a bias against negative experiences with the subconscious mind, but also some examples of how the subconscious mind gets trained through habit and repetition that is incredibly helpful and useful is any type of skill or movement that we've learned, like walking or reading or cycling or swimming or typing or writing or even driving. So once we're able to do that, we know that when we're driving, we can drive home and not even remember which way we drove, and that's because the subconscious mind took over for us. And we've done it so many times through repetition that we're able to actually do it without being conscious. So it serves as a really positive function, but then it also can get in the way of things like particularly relationships and our relationship to other people and our relationship to things like money, our relationship to life, and anything that borders around the area of survival. The subconscious mind is going to be the one that's really leading everything. So we want to try to become aware of that the best that we can in order to interrupt it. So emotionally speaking, the sorting that occurs through this subconscious mind has to do with assumptions that we made at a very young age about what things meant about us, about others, and about the world around us. We made meaning prior to ever even going to school or having a context of what life was like about who we are, what others are, and what life is like. And so, giving you a few examples of how coherence shows up in our life. If you were physically hit as a child, you might have decided that the world is not, the world in general and other people are not a safe place, and they are not either. And so everywhere you go, you're going to be coherent, looking for evidence in every situation you're in to prove that belief that people and others are unsafe. And your body and mind will register highly habitually things that look very scary to you and that prove that to you. It will remember very distinctly every person that felt threatening, every situation that you were in, and every your defense mechanisms will go up really, really quickly. And I wanted you to see how that just that focus in with that, with the subconscious mind, also then means that your body and mind does not register or habitually recognize every single person that was safe to you, every single situation that was safe for you. It rejects it, and it doesn't have your focus go on it because it's too busy proving the story to keep you alive. And it, that circuit runs so quickly that it's hard for us to retrain the mind to be looking at all of the evidence that is, you know, contrary to that. And so I'm not saying that there weren't unsafe people and unsafe situations that were in your experience as an adult as well. I'm just saying that the ones that were safe, even if they were more in number, don't register the same in the body. Okay. Another example besides safety might be worthlessness. If for some reason, let's say it was sexual abuse or you were used in some other way where you felt like you were just born to be used and therefore don't matter and are worthless, you will find evidence in your life through relationships and situations, and you will be drawn to them that prove that. But you will also discount every other person in place that values you, that found you to be contributory, that you really were an asset to. It will be hard for you to register that not only in your mind, but also in your body. Another example might be if you were neglected. That will begin to feel like the story of your life, and you may neglect your own needs while you're trying to take care of other people's needs because you don't want them to feel the way that you felt, and that pattern will continue on for life. So that's the subconscious patterns that we're talking about. I've got another one here. If you were abandoned and you have a belief that people leave, you'll really emphasize and feel in great painful detail every person who has left your life and will not absorb and feel positive emotions about, and indeed will discount every person who has remained steady and constant in your life. So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about these coherent programs. You don't mean to do it. You don't intend to do it, but it's where the focus goes. And it's where the sorting is predetermined, and it's where it's it's the default mechanism. The sorting is to keep you alive. Okay, so that's the coherence that she's talking about that we want to try to interrupt, and that's what Envision accesses. And we may have all done affirmations, and we may have tried to talk ourselves out of being attracted to or bonded with, you know, these patterns, but the conscious mind is no match for the subconscious mind. It doesn't have enough power to interrupt it as strongly as trying to address it directly, which is what Envision does. And I'm not saying that affirmations don't help, and I'm not saying that repetitively pulling yourself out and talking to yourself consciously doesn't help, because it does. It just is, you know, it's a real struggle, as many of us on this call, I'm sure, do know, right? The other thing I want to say about coherence is that we do this because it feels familiar. And we often say it's a comfort zone, but we can all agree it doesn't really feel that comfortable. It just feels known. And the subconscious mind fears the unknown. It likes its little rut. It likes to just keep you safe. It likes to just do the same thing over again. And so it perceives anything unknown as a threat. And so we assume that because we're comfortable there, or because we're attracted there, or because it feels familiar there, that we're comfortable. But you can see that the word familiar comes from family. It doesn't come from comfort. So familiar and comfort are not the same. We want to recognize that it's just because it's familiar doesn't mean that it's home and good for us. It means like it's largely going to feel like home because of the dysfunction that was there. And so we want to not equate familiar with safe. And we also then want to stop equating unknown with unsafe. Because just like I spoke about earlier, about the unconscious and the collective unconscious that I'm talking about, where everything exists, including everything unknown. So that means, like, say for you, let's say you've only known poverty your whole life. Being really wealthy is a completely unknown. And we want to move then toward what is unknown to you. If you've only had unhealthy relationships, healthy relationships are unknown to you. We want to move toward healthy relationships. And where do those things live? They live in the unknown. And so our subconscious would have us fear the unknown, but we want to go toward the unknown because it holds everything we want, everything we've never experienced, everything we'd love to have exists in the unknown. And so we want to try to overturn that default of the known being good and move toward the unknown being good. So that's the first level that I wanted to explain. The second inspiration then is the environment and eco-psychology. And so the point really here is that the number one primary environment that we all live in is not actually our external environment or our circumstances, but it's the internal environment of our mind. And each one of us has a very unique internal environment that we live in that's very, very different than everybody else's unique internal environment. It's largely influenced by our subconscious mind, but also our habitual experiences, as well as any, you know, anything we've learned either in books or experientially as we've grown up and become adults. So the experiences that we've had in our life are colored by our perspectives and our interpretations of what's happening. And that is how we perceive what's actually going on in the external world. We perceive it from our internal world. And so I want to sort of show you, and this is where the 95% comes in. Most of what happens in our life happens to us inside our own head, rather than on our experiences with life, because it has to do with our perceptions. And you can know that everybody has a different perspective and perception just sort of casually or agree with it, you know, as a truth. But I want to sort of give you an example of what that is. And that is that we can all agree that if there's two people sitting on the same couch, even with the same blanket, let's say they have the same beverage, watching the same movie at the same time of day, in the same room, in the same house, in the same town, each of those people could have vastly different experiences of that same event. Not only of the movie, but how they feel on the couch, but what their experience of the beverage is, what their experience of the other person is, what they think actually happened, what occurred. It can be completely different with the external environment remaining exactly the same for both people. And so this is what's happening to every one of us all day, all the time. We're having very different experiences in our own internal mind. If that's true on the couch with a movie, you can imagine that's true in a room full of people, whether it's just family or whether it's a meeting or whether it's a convention. People are having very different experiences of the same thing. So it's important to know that and to get that to help depersonalize one person's experience over another's, because every person's experience is absolutely valid and did happen to them. And everybody's idea of what was true is unique to them. The only thing that we have influence over is what is our experience? And how do we want to contribute to the experiences that are shaping us? And one of the ways that we can do that is covered in Dr. Bruce Lipton's book, The Biology of Belief, where he found that the membrane of the cell was the actual brain of the cell and not the nucleus. And I want you to remember that the membrane of a cell, what's the key component of it, is it decides what gets in and what leaves. So like what nutrients come into the cell, what waste gets left out, what's allowed in, what do we release? And so the same is true for us. We have a great deal of influence over the stimuli and the influences and that we allow for us to be shaped by that gets into our brain. And we have some influence over what we decide to release and let go of. It does have to be practiced, but it is possible for the health of the cell, if we think of ourselves as a cell, to be as healthy as possible, that we have a great deal of impact over what we decide, what gets in, and what we let go of. The eco-psychology part of the environment is that we all have a connection to the natural world. And the natural environment transcends language, it transcends life experience, it transcends culture. So if I say tree, or sky, or mud, or lake, or any of that, we all have an inherent understanding of what these things are, no matter what language that they're set in. And even if we don't picture the same tree, or the same body of water, or even the same color of sky or time of day. We all are connected by knowing what those things are. And even if we've never been to like the ocean or a forest, we have an idea of what that is. We're naturally connected to the natural world. And so we utilize the natural environment within vision as the language through which we're going to communicate with and talk to the unconscious mind. And so moving into that next, we have the third inspiration, which is Jung's active imagination. And just like active imagination, Envision utilizes pictures and images more so than language, words, and the intellect. So we utilize the deeper, wider meanings and the symbolism of the images and the meanings that go far beyond simply naming what they are. So you know that your experience of a tree is way different than the word tree. That we're much more connected to these living organisms and to, you know, what they mean and what they contribute and the sense of them than we are to the language that describes them. And so that's why we want to communicate with pictures. So we develop our own consciousness further through active imagination and with engaging our connection to the collective unconscious, because that holds everything that was ever thought or known, like I said before. And when we engage with it, it brings us a whole bunch of epiphanies and ha-has that we can't get through just study. The unconscious mind is both personal, it will deliver messages to you that mean something to you, and impersonal, meaning that it holds everything as well. It's a symbolic process, and it's based on what we know far below than what's just at the surface. So with Envision, we connect then also finally with the observer, which she covers at the very end. And the observer is the conscious witness that traverses our different experiences and is aware of them rather than identified with them. So when we shift into observation and we shift into witnessing, we step back out of our identification and thus are able to move and to consciously choose outside of our subconscious pattern or stuckness in any given moment and experience something different and new, which is what we're going for. It helps us to practice observation over criticism and judgment. When we engage with the unconscious, it also, as the witness, it also helps us to engage with play over effort, and it completely bypasses the subconscious programmed mind and enables us to engage into the more lucid dreaming mind. When we're doing this, we're having inner experiences. We're not engaging with the external environment or circumstances. We're engaging with that internal environment that most shapes us. And so we have these inner experiences with Envision, and they have real effects because your mind doesn't know the difference between the internal experience that occurred by itself or an internal experience that we, observed externally. We're shaped by both. We want to engage a little bit more deeply with the active imagination to be able to choose to shape ourselves toward the unknown and what we do want prior to, instead of, to help replace the habits that we're, you know, not that happy with and want to change. Okay? Active imagination is different than creative visualization because we're not dictating which images that are coming up. We're actually inviting them to be shown to us. They're not created by us. So an example of creative visualization is in some of the meditations that Colette's have given you, like imagine yourself by the beach or imagine yourself in a forest. We're actually not doing that. We're starting with an emotion, and I did upload a couple of emotion lists for you to be able to help name your emotions, because that is one thing that's also helpful to move you into the witness role, is to be able to actually name and claim and identify what emotion you're actually feeling. So I have some references on the Facebook page under files that you can download and use if you have trouble naming your emotions. But we start with what the emotion is that we're feeling that we don't really care for. And then we invite the active imagination to deliver us a picture of if this emotion, like sad is one that she uses in the Oracle School platform of this module. We don't want to guess what sad is. We want to feel into sad. We want to ask our intuition and our active imagination to show us what sad looks like. And so sad may look like a desert to one person, and it would be shown to you. It may look like, you know, a tar pit to someone else. It may look like a foggy bog to another person. Each one of us will receive an image that is personal to us. And so sad isn't the same for everyone. It's not delivered. It will have personal meaning to you. And then when we look up the symbolism and look deeper into what it means, we get far more information than if we just talk about the feeling that we're having of sad. So the observer then also lets us to know, oh my gosh, I'm already distant from this feeling that I have. I thought I am sad. Now I can see I am the observer who is looking at sad. I happen to be standing in or near sad, but I myself am not sad in terms of identity. So this is what helps us to see the difference between being a witness and being identified with whatever we're feeling. So we can also, the emotions are most helpful, but we can also look at, you know, landscapes, and it helps to put the emotions with it, but say we feel like we're a victim often. We can look at the landscape of victim or feeling victimized or victimization, and then you can see I am not the victim. I am looking at the landscape of victimization. Because who you really are, the self with a capital S, is the one who's been constant this whole time, who traverses through all of these experiences and doesn't stay in the same place. Actually, or you could see it as the landscapes traverse through you or the feelings come through you, but you yourself, the capital S self, is the one that holds steady and is eternal. It's constant. And so we want to learn how to not identify with symptoms, and because when we feel them, we think that they're going to last forever, and then we think that they are us, and that spirals us deeper. We want to be able to step back into the capital S self to be aware and know that, oh, I am aware that I am sad. Well, who is the one who is aware? That's the self with a capital S. I am aware that I'm experiencing sadness. Now, that's a little bit more accurate than I am sad or I am sadness. I am the one who experiences this. And I know from experience that this too will pass, because everything does. Anyone who's ever had an anxiety attack or suffered from depression or has been scared knows that even though it feels like it's going to last forever, it never ever does. And the truth is also that whenever we've been joyful or blissful and we want that to last forever, that also never ever does. Emotions, experiences, feelings all pass through the witness observer self, and we want to become much more grounded in that connection with ourself as we learn to navigate life a little bit differently. So if you're having trouble connecting with the observer self, or even after I've said this, you're having a little bit of difficulty, I want to just direct you then to lesson one, segment eight, which is actually, it's the nine dot, because the one is the introduction. But in the home play exercise, Colette has a 12-minute meditation that can really, really help you. So there's already great comments of people finding that very, very helpful. And I'm not going to do that here today, but I'm going to direct you back to the Oracle School platform to practice becoming the observer. And then finally, I'm just going to do a little recap, and then I'm going to take some questions. So first, I want to say that we want to be able to begin identifying, to make conscious, the subconscious programs and patterns that are running in the background in the coherent stories that we're living by, so that we can begin to understand and then respond to them and change them. We're going to use the envision process to do that. The envision process is a dialogue with the collective unconscious, everything known and unknown, that we engage with through active imagination, right brain creative dreaming mind rather than left brain linear language mind. And then we're going to pare down the information available to us from the unconscious by limiting the information that we ask from it to that of the natural world or the environment. So we give it the container of the environment, the natural world, eco-psychology that has so many, you know, symbolic and deep, deep meaning for us. We're going to let that be the language that we limit it to talking to us about. Hopefully that made sense. I stumbled a little bit there. And I do want to make the distinction that we are in general talking about the natural world, like rivers, streams, you know, that kind of a thing. But envision often can give you both indoor locations or environments, as well as cartoon environments, as well as artistic environments, in addition to places perhaps that you've been. All of it counts, as long as it's a place. That's what we're talking about. It's a place, it's a landscape, it's an actual environment. That's what we're talking about, that the Envision process will deliver you. So there's no place that you receive that's wrong. We just want to go with what shows up. We want to trust our intuition, and we want to trust that it's in our highest and best good. And then finally, we look at these locations or environments as the observer witness self that gives us some distance and some detachment. And detachment doesn't mean that we don't care. Detachment means that we are not identifying with it. Okay? So now I have talked a great deal. I can feel my breath is getting a little shallow, and I'm going to take a deep breath and see if you have any questions. So before I start coaching, this is still about the content. If you have a question, go ahead and press *2 on your keypad if you're on the phone, or press raise hand if you're on the web call, or you can print one in the thread that I started earlier, not the one that shows the call, but it says we're starting in 5 minutes, and then I'll answer those questions. So let me just peruse. Oh, you can also type one in if you're on the webcast. Okay, so I'm going to take a deep breath and look at some of these questions. Hang on one second. So there's a question here, is the unconscious the same as source, God, matrix? You know, I don't know that we're going to go there with this. We're just going to talk about this in terms of the framing of the Jungian unconscious. And so we're actually not talking about, in my view, God. We're talking about just everything that exists, and in the unknown, it's anything that's possible. Let's just call it that. It's not actually the creative force that we're talking about. So that's how I would identify God, as a creative force, which is not what we're talking about here. So hopefully that answers that question. And then I'm going to go back to that. I don't see any hands raised on the call, and I'm just looking on the page. And somebody's having trouble with the link, so I can't really help with that during the call. Okay. All right. We are set. So now I'm going to move to the coaching portion of this call. And before I do that, we want to always create a transition for this, because this group tends to be filled with highly loving, caring, but empathic individuals who sometimes have difficulty setting energetic boundaries. And because I'm going to be teaching you the Envision process, and I'm going to be moving you from an uncomfortable environment into a comfortable environment, we're going to be feeling and we're going to be describing uncomfortable things. I believe that this is, you know, different from the guidelines that you have in Oracle School, where Colette tells you that we're not interested in the grit, we're interested in the pearl. In this process, I have to start with the grit, show you how the Envision process leads you to the pearl. So if you know that you're sensitive with energetic boundaries, there's a number of things you can do. The primary one is keep your focus on me and not the person that I'm coaching. Pay attention to what I do, what's my energy, and how do I move them, and notice how calm I am and that I don't take on their energy as I do it. You can also listen to the recording instead of listen to it live, where you can pause it if you need to. But also, I'm going to do just a little energetic boundary setting here right now to clear us all and to make sure that we stay in our own selves and not get enmeshed with other people's energy. I will say that that's what's the most important thing, is for you to be able to stay present in your own self rather than drift into other people's energies, because there's no such thing as controlling other people's energies or slash triggers for us. There's no such thing as controlling the external environment. There's only how do I stay present in my own self, and how do I not take on or follow a trigger that might have set up that came from the external, okay? But unfortunately, that's not this class, and that's not my expertise, and that's actually also not what I'm, you know, going to have time for. I've just found that it's really important that we make this switch before we begin the coaching part, okay? So let's all take a nice, you know, shake out of the body. Let's just shake your body, and we're going to shift actually from our intelligence and from our thinking and from our observing and listening, and we're going to move on over to the coaching part, okay? And so we want to stay very grounded in ourselves. I'm going to have you take a nice deep breath in, and then exhale, blow out your mouth if you can. It just helps you to sink into your body. Do that a couple more times at your own pace. Sink into your body. Like, even just imagine yourself sinking into your body, like all the way down to your belly and your hips. Reside in your body. Ground down into the earth if you can. Feel Mother Gaia supporting you. Ground on in. Send a cord down if you want. We're going to be nice and grounded and centered in ourselves as we move on to the next page of this class. And then I'm going to have you just invoke a color that feels really protective to you and that feels soothing to you and calming to you. And I'm going to have you feel that color all around you. And I'm going to have you feel it in a shape that also feels like the most containing to you. So you may feel like you love a slippery blue bubble, or you like a pink heart around you, or you like a Merkaba star in violet, or an emerald egg is a thing for you. Maybe you love all the colors of the rainbow around you. Perhaps it's platinum, white, bright light. Just giving you some suggestions. Any of those things that landed as really grounding and helped you to sigh and exhale, you want to hang on to that image. And then you want to be very, very contained and content within yourself. You want to now bring to mind the practice of, I'm going to be the witness and I'm going to be the observer, particularly if I'm not a person who has volunteered for coaching. And I'm going to stay contained in the color and the energy of my choice. We don't really have to have a shield. There's nothing harmful to you coming. You're not unsafe. We just want you to stay in your own energy and know where you end and where the person I'm coaching begins, and that they are not you. Okay? So breathe into your nice, pretty, pretty, colorful space that's just yours. And now I'm going to take volunteers for coaching. And I'm just going to start with the Get On Your Bird, or I can start with anybody who just wants to try it as an example to get coached through it. And so anybody brave enough to hit *2 on their keypad or to raise their hand from their web call, I'd love to have you join us, and we can all learn from whoever decides to join us as a client. And I'm still not seeing any hands raised, so I am going to actually hit refresh just to make sure. Yep, I refreshed, and everybody's shy today. So let me see here. I don't see any other questions. Let me just look. It's going to be hard for me to coach if no one wants to, you know, be involved in the coaching. Can I have someone who's taken the class before be willing to get us started? Okay, now we got it. They're flying up. Sounds good. Thanks, everybody. I so appreciate it. Okay, I am going to go ahead and start here with someone from Taos, New Mexico. Hi. I don't know your name.
Hello.
Hi, who is it?
This is Martha.
Marsha with an S or Martha with a T?
Martha with a T.
Hi, Martha. It's nice to meet you. Thank you for being brave and raising your hand.
Thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome. What can I help you with?
Ooh, I keep having issues with abundance, in particular personal finances.
Okay.
I go through these cycles of having plenty, and then all of a sudden I get a reality check looking at my checking account balance or, you know, whatever, and I go, oh, my God, what am I going to do? I knew this was coming. I didn't do anything about it. Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
And I'm better than I used to be. I used to go into a panic attack, and I don't do that now, but it does still come up.
Okay, great. So, perfect example. I appreciate that. So, what I'm going to do is, number one, I'm just going to ask you, does when you feel that panic, when you're like, oh, great, especially when you feel like, here I am again, I knew this was coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, what does that remind you of from your childhood?
Oh, childhood.
I'm talking about the feeling. Yeah, the feeling.
The feeling. The feeling was I've screwed up again.
Okay. This
I messed
is it.
It up.
Okay.
I screwed
perfect.
Up again.
Perfect, right? So I just kind of want you to see how here's where the thread is rather than about money.
Mm-hmm.
Got it?
Yeah.
So let's start there. That's perfect. Thank you. So I want you to go ahead and take a deep breath and close your eyes. And even though it's going to be a little bit uncomfortable, I want you to really bring up that feeling of, oh, my God, I screwed up again. I screwed up again. And tell me what that feels like. Give me a couple of words there.
Oh, it's fingers pointing at me. It's being in a circle and...
So to
and
try to
you
drop
just
in
want
deeper.
To sink into the ground.
So drop into the feeling, and if there are fingers if there are fingers pointing at you, how do you feel?
Worthless.
I feel worthless. How else do you feel?
Discarded, abandoned.
So I want you a little in your head. Can you see that? I want you to feel.
Yeah.
I know it's really scary to feel these. It's incredibly powerful, though, to feel it and name it. This part of the process is actually fairly powerful. I'm getting...
I'm still here working on it. What are you doing?
No, try not... I'm getting scared.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
okay,
so
I, so
obvious. Yes.
Well, no. Feel in. Try to go. I'm going to have you take a breath and drop into your body because you're in your head. Drop into your body. I know it's uncomfortable, and I appreciate you helping the rest of us to be able to learn from this. You're afraid to feel scared. You're afraid to feel worthless, but I want you to know that I'm here with you, and we're just going to feel it for a brief moment so we can talk to it. Okay?
No, it is. It's terror. It's terrified.
Okay, so now here we are in terror, and I want you to now, instead of identifying with terror, and everybody hold your boundaries, stay in your colors. Here we are with terror, and if terror were a place, an actual location, or a landscape, let it come to you and show you what terror looks like to you. And if terror were a place, what does terror look like? Just give it a moment to show you. Go ahead.
Empty. There's nothing.
So tell me.
Just a void. It would be like a desert with nothing. Not like a real desert that has plants and stuff. But
so let me. Can I ask you this?
Bleak, nothing.
Are you seeing anything? Are you seeing a black
void?
Go ahead.
The first image that came was a black void.
Okay.
And then a second image that came was is a gray landscape that's flat.
Okay.
And there's just like gray dirt and there is nothing alive.
Okay, great. Perfect. So now tell me, where are you in relation to this gray landscape?
I'm standing in the middle of it.
Okay. So I'm going to have you just turn around and tell me what you see behind you.
I'm having a hard time keeping my mind out of it. Am I supposed to say that I see the same thing?
No, you're just supposed to.
Different?
I don't know what you see. You're supposed to tell me what you see.
if
you don't see anything,
I've done the get on our bird exercise so many times. I sort of go right ahead and sort of know what I'm. That's not the real landscape. But let me try.
Yeah, I'm going to have you
try
again.
On this.
This is perfect. So let me
really...
just interrupt you for a second, Martha, okay? Let me just interrupt. Right. So this is partly what – so this is taking the get on your bird thing from an escape route to what is the information that can really help me here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being willing to listen to it instead of outmaneuver and figure it out. Because if you could have outmaneuvered and figured out these emotions, you would have done it by now.
Thank you.
Right?
Yes. Landscape is all around me.
It's all around you. Okay. Great. Mm-hmm. And it's so sort of as far as the eye can see. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And there's nothing growing. It's just like gray. And so on the ground, is it like dirt or dust or what is the substance?
It's like dust, dirt, dry dust.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then what's the temperature like?
Cold.
It's cold. Okay. As you're looking around, and I understand you don't see anything living. There's no plants or anything, or any rocks or anything.
Maybe a few pebbles on the ground, but no big rocks. No, nothing big in the landscape.
Okay, that sounds fine. And then go ahead and walk around a little bit and tell me if you see anything at all. Or does it just stay gray? Which is fine if it does. We're just gathering information through exploration.
A little lizard just popped out.
Okay, that's
from behind a bigger rock.
Okay.
Still gray, the same color. A little lizard just popped out.
And how do you feel about the lizard?
Curious.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just see. Does the lizard have any message for you?
Well, it was a positive curious, and it felt like the lizard was there for me.
Okay.
Happy, you know, pleased to, you know, it was an intentional thing. And let me feel into if there's a message.
You know, just ask the lizard. If not, that's okay. We're just checking, right? We're just learning how to explore.
Not hearing anything, but it was a reassurance about life, about being alive.
Great. We appreciate that message. And then, you know, just in the interest of time, so I just want everyone to know you can explore as many of these quote-unquote negative landscapes as you want, you know. It does give you this. We've already gotten a great deal of information here, right? So let me just ask you this. Do you, in this moment, in this landscape, after this lizard just showed up, do you feel threatened?
No.
Okay. Interesting. Curious, right? So now, though, would you like to leave?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go ahead then.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go ahead and call in a winged creature for you. And who shows up?
Eagle.
An eagle. And are you familiar with the eagle? Is that someone that comes for you regularly or?
Yes.
Okay. And does your eagle have a name?
No.
Okay. So we're going to, you know, do that. You either get small enough or the eagle gets big enough so that you can get on the back of the eagle, and then we're going to fly straight up into the blue sky and tell me when you get there.
Oh, we're there now.
You're there? Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
And is this, and as you look over now, let's get a perspective from up here. What does the landscape look like from up there?
There's most of the landscape is, you know, the sky is brilliant blue, there's sunshine, and looking down, it's a beautiful, like, Taos landscape, and there's just this patch, this small area that, was this gray, this one place was gray and barren, but it was just one piece of a bigger natural landscape that has desert in it, but that transitions into colors and with plants, and there's mountains and rivers and...
Yeah. So let's just stay up here on the bird and tell me, you know, just from the brief amount of time that we just spent there, you know, what's your take on what just happened here? And what information did you get? And then I'll tell you my little take on it.
Okay. It's a very somatic fear I have, or belief, agreement I have. From childhood, this terror, and lizard, and it could have even been something where I couldn't see, perhaps, or was in a closet. And I'm saying that because I know there was an experience like that.
Okay.
And,
so yeah, I don't want you to go. So I don't. So that's that's fine. What I want you to see, though, is we started when we looked at what you described as terror.
Mm-hmm.
There was really quite a very. It's boring in your terror.
Yeah.
It's boring there. There is nothing threatening about it.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, a curious lizard that showed up, and I looked up the symbolism of a lizard, which is the symbol for internal power, showed up to remind you that you have internal power, right? There was, and you even though yourself indicated that there was no threat to you.
Right.
And then when you left,
boring.
And when you left and looked down, there was life all around you. So the message for you is just there's a created story that's in your body now about a threat. It's a rehashing of something in the past that has very little to do with what's actually happening now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's life all around you, and you don't really need to spend very much time in terror. You just assert your internal power.
Mm-hmm.
And live from there instead of this old coherent story.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does.
And now you've had a bit of a somatic experiential experience of your actual terror. You've been in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not threatening, mm-hmm. and it's boring. Just try to remember mm-hmm. that. Just try to remember that next time you feel it.
Yeah, that's fabulous. Thank you. That insight that's great.
Okay,
it helps
great.
A lot.
Okay.
It really does.
Good.
Thank
Good.
You so much, Sarah. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. Thank you for volunteering. Okay, Martha, I'm going to take the next caller, so thank you. And now I am going to go with Mike Larson. Mike, is that you or is that just a Mike calling from?
Hello?
Yes. Is that, who's this?
Actually, I'm his wife, but the phone's under his name.
Oh, fair enough. Sorry.
no, it's okay.
And who are you?
My name's Annette.
Hi, Annette. It's nice to meet you.
Hi. Nice to meet you, Sarah.
Thank you. Tell me, what can I help you with?
Well, I'm a pretty level girl for the most part, but I am experiencing bouts of rage, and it comes on fast and hard, and I'm not sure what it's about.
Okay, great. So let me ask you this. When was the last time you experienced rage?
Probably this afternoon when the horses decided not to go where they were supposed to go.
Okay. And so just from that, example that you're giving me, do you have an association of rage when you can't control things?
It might be about that. I think it's so buried so deep in me that I'm not really, it flares up and I get really, really angry, and then I go, oh, God, Annette, what's going on? And I stop myself, right? I don't
mm-hmm.
act on it, but it just that mm-hmm. it comes on all of a sudden. And I think there was a time in my childhood when I was pretty helpless.
Yeah.
And I think there's a
yeah.
helplessness attached with it.
That's perfect, right? So do you see, just to be, because we don't want to get over analytical and we don't want to psychoanalyze. We just want to see the connection because so much of it does make sense, right? And so
right.
if one felt helpless, one would want to try to control things.
Right.
Right. So we just want to say that makes sense. That was useful at one point. But let's now, today, take a look at this rage and see what we can learn from it. So if we give it some attention instead of run from it. Does that sound good?
Right.
So
yep.
let's go ahead and take a deep breath and then exhale. And then even though it's uncomfortable and I want everyone who's empathic again, stay in your color, stay in your body, stay in your space because we're going to be working with Annette. And Annette is not you. Okay? Annette, go ahead. Feel into that rage. Let it be big because I'm here with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then we're going to go ahead and invite your intuition. If rage were a place, an actual landscape or an environment, what does rage look like to you?
Looks like a volcano.
A volcano. Okay, great.
Yeah.
And so is this volcano active?
It's erupting.
It's erupting. Okay. And where are you in relationship to the volcano?
Actually, I'm not, I'm just watching it.
Okay, great. So let's, right away, we just want to go ahead and affirm this. We want to affirm that you are looking at the landscape of your rage. You are not your rage.
That's right.
That's right. So knowing that, how does that feel in your body?
Well, my heart rate's calmed down. My headache's kind of just dissipating.
Okay, good.
I feel a little bit removed from it now.
Yes, good.
And some,
good.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. What else were you going to say?
Well, it's kind of like a tidal wave that comes over, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's, and seeds, it's gone.
Say that again.
So when the wave recedes, like a big tidal wave comes up,
mm-hmm.
crashes into you, and then it dissipates.
Okay. So what's happening with the volcano, though?
The volcano. I feel completely removed from the volcano right now. Like, so I had the physiological reaction to it.
Mm-hmm. Can you still see it?
The volcano. Yes, and it and it's not sputtering. It's like not there's not big flames shooting out of it anymore. It's sort of sputtering. It's quieting down.
Yeah. Okay. So this is great. So I'm just going to go ahead and teach and narrate as we go, if that's okay. Yeah. So just by noticing, and I want to say in the very present here and now moment, that you are not your rage. Just by noticing that, you could feel the dissipation. And just by noticing that, you became even more removed and thought, wow, it's kind of like a wave that comes and goes. And as you notice that, then the rage itself, remember, that's what the landscape represents. The landscape represents your rage dissipated on its own through the distance of it, right? So that's a wonderful thing to observe. I'm just curious, are you curious at all about exploring the volcanic landscape?
Sure.
Yeah, it seems pretty safe to do so, don't you think?
Yeah.
So if you can even just walk around it or see how big it is, or can you walk up it, or just be curious and just let
me know.
There's
a jungle at the base. There's a jungle at the base. And it's quite a distinct small cone at the top.
Okay, it's a small cone even.
It's a small cone, and it's tropical. It's a very tropical area that I'm seeing. So it's warm, and I'm under 2 feet of snow here. and it right now, it seems rather harmless.
Yeah, okay. So, and this is just an idea I have. And again, everybody, I want you to all know, you all have the power to choose what feels right to you. So say yes or no. They're both neutral, right? How do you feel about climbing up and looking in it?
Well, that would be okay.
Okay, why don't you try it?
It's tightly protected, the cone. Like, I'm going to have to swat through some dense jungle, right?
Okay.
To get to
it. Tell me what happens as you swat through dense jungle. Go ahead. You can have whatever you need, machete, whatever you need.
I got a machete, yeah.
And what's
it
like?
All right. It kind of feels unsafe, though, you know?
Yeah,
it feels a little bit unsafe to go up that, you know. It's quite steep.
Okay.
And it's quite thick.
Okay. And so tell me then, let's go back to what's happening right now, which is this is a thick jungle. What does the jungle feel like to you?
It kind of feels like I would say it's a lot of repressed emotion.
Okay, so what emotion does it feel like? Yeah.
You know, I'm coming up with sorrow.
Sorrow. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel that
hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's something that I can avoid if I get angry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is it safe to say that this sorrow and hurt is all around the rage?
Yeah.
Yeah. Really great information. Great information.
Yeah, it is really great information.
And it's kind of
dealing.
It's dense and it's hard to get through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Really insightful though.
Isn't that helpful? Mm-hmm. Can you feel your body changing already? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think, you know, we got the information we needed. Doesn't it sound like it? And
absolutely.
Are you okay leaving? No?
Yes, I am. I want to thank you so much, though, because that's really interesting.
Oh, yeah, no, we're going to continue. I'm going to go have you get on the bird. I just mean we're going to leave the landscape. There's more we can do here, but okay, so we're going to call in a bird, though.
Okay.
And who comes for you?
I have a big dragon that comes.
Okay, great. And I do want everyone, just as a point of teaching, that, you know, just be open to other types of winged creature's coming. It doesn't have to be the same one every time, right? So go ahead and let's go ahead and get on your dragon and, you know, fly up into the blue sky.
Yeah.
And when you're there, go ahead and look over the side and what's the perspective from up there?
It's quite beautiful down there, you know. It's a beautiful landscape. There's an ocean, it's an island. It's blue and it's green and it's rich.
And when you look at also the, you know, the jungle part, how do you feel about the jungle part from here?
Well, it's just beautiful nature. It's full of, it's teeming with life. It's there's birds and there's, you know, it's just alive.
And how about, what is your feeling toward the volcano from up here?
That it's quite harmless. It's quiet. It's just part of the landscape. It's blended into the jungle and it's coming out of the jungle and it's
Yeah, it's. I think it's quiet, right? Because it wouldn't be harmless if it was erupting, though. Isn't that accurate? Sorry, just to.
No, it's not. But it's. Yeah,
but it's calm. Yeah,
it's calm right now.
That's so great. Great. So, I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, review a little bit and then give you some sort of idea from where to go from here. If that sounds good.
Okay.
Right.
Yep.
So you want to, you know, reflect and journal on this, you know, understanding that came from, number one, if you just get a little distance from your rage, it dissipates. If you can move into the observer, if you can move into the witness, the eruption is likely not to happen. Yeah.
Right.
Then secondly, all around your rage is this, you know, sorrow. Right. And I'm looking for the hurt. Right. So, and it's pretty dense. And it's thick, and it's hard to get through that. So I would encourage you to do another envision process on sorrow.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And don't necessarily expect the jungle, right?
No.
Because this,
okay.
we started,
no,
right?
No.
It may show up as that, but right? I'm just trying to help teach as we go, right? Sorry. And,
appreciate
and that,
that
is, right? So that the, largely the sorrow helped to show up to show that it was around the rage, but we started with the rage, right? And then you can explore a little bit more and learn a little bit more about your sorrow and your hurt, because today we just mostly learned about your rage, right? Does that make sense?
People say I'm a really calm person normally.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I was going to say is when you looked at it, one of the things that you said from above is it's natural, and I want to assure you that rage and sorrow and hurt are all natural.
Right.
These are things that we go through in life, right? It's just how much are they getting in our way, right?
Yeah.
So when you do your study buddy, why don't you try sorrow and hurt? And this may have been the preliminary thing that helps that be easier to look at.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Yeah.
It was nice to chat with you, Annette. Thanks so much for the great
chat
example.
With you.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Okay, I've got two more hands and I'm going to stay on. So we're at the 90-minute mark and I'm going to go ahead and take these last two before we end. So hopefully we can get them both in and I can, you know, coach as many people as I can because I do think that's a huge value. Okay, so the next person is going to be, it says David Connor in San Diego. Hello, the last four numbers of your phone number are 5091. Okay, I went ahead and muted them because it doesn't sound like they're there. Hang on one second. Are you there? David Connor is the name I see. 5091.
Hello. Hello.
Yes. Oh. Hi. Who is this?
Nicole.
Hi, Nicole. It's Sarah. I have your, you had your hand up. Can I help you with some coaching today?
Yes. I don't have anything. I mean, I'm going through a very great time right now, so I don't have anything like negative. Is that okay?
Totally fine. Totally fine. Doesn't have to be negative. Yeah.
Okay. So I don't really know how to start. I mean, everything's been really good. I've been having a lot of abundance lately, and yeah, everything's amazing.
Well, let's just take a moment, like you said, let's just celebrate that and appreciate it, right? Because what we appreciate appreciates. Woohoo! Abundance. Happening for you. Let it spread and let it stay, right? Good, good, good.
Definitely.
Okay. And then go ahead. What were you going to say next?
I mean, that's really all. I mean, everything's just been super good. I don't know. It's crazy. I've just been having a lot of blessings. So I don't know. I mean, just good, 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 good.
Good.
Everything's great.
So you put your hand up, though. So
yes,
what
I know. I had put it up like first, so I wasn't sure what it was supposed to be really about, to be honest. That's why I just wasn't sure. I'm not sure what to talk about.
That's okay. Well, here's, you know, you did courtesy, and I'm happy to, you know, help you, but I do, you know, want to, we can use this for any number of different things, but if you don't necessarily have a specific question, then I think I want to move to this, someone who might, if that's okay.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think just like, can it be a question where, like, I don't know, you give me some sort of insight, just like intuition wise, or like, I don't know, like, how does it, like,
well, yeah, it's, like, no, it's not like, yeah, okay. I'm not like an intuitive where it's a call in show when I do a reading.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. Yeah. I mean, everything's just good. So I guess, yeah, no, I don't have any.
Yeah. Okay. Well, make sure you raise your hand on another call. Like maybe when we do the boardroom in week five, that might be a good one for you to raise your hand on.
Yeah.
Does that sound good? So, and try to remember that.
Sorry.
And then,
definitely,
yeah, no, that's okay. That's
awesome.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for being willing to participate. Okay.
Of course. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, last one is Tabby, it looks like, in Toronto. Tabby?
I'm here.
Hi. Can you?
Hello. I'm so surprised you called me. Thank you.
You're welcome. It sounds like you're on speaker. Can you put on like a headphone or something?
Yes, let me. Oh, here they are. I took them off my head.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, it's totally a long call. I totally get that.
Ah, okay. Fab. Here I am. So
okay.
My question is,
yes.
I deal with panic anxiety.
Okay.
And
you are not alone, as you know.
That's what I'm discovering, which is sort of like, it's nice coming out of my cave and realizing, oh, look at all these other caves around here. I work as a professional artist. I'm a performance artist.
Cool.
I'm fine when I'm performing.
Uh-huh.
If anything other than my work fills me with panic.
Okay. Well, I think we've got it. Are you willing to look at the landscape of panic today?
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and remind everybody listening, go ahead and stay grounded in yourselves, grounded in your gorgeous color. And then, but for you, Tabby, we're not going to be there for very long, as we've seen. We don't spend a lot of time here. But I do.
I like that part.
Yeah. Is there any other emotions that you feel in addition to panic when you feel it?
Perhaps a deep loneliness.
Okay. Okay.
A real challenge with intimacy.
Well, yeah, those aren't really feelings. Yeah. Okay. So let's stick with the feeling part, which I totally get how it spills over into those things, though, right? So go ahead and feel, if you can, into your body and just recall or bring up those emotions of panic. I know that they don't feel good. And then you're panicked and you're lonely. And in general, panic has got a fear to it, too, You're lonely and you're panicked and you're afraid. And if this lonely panic fear were a place, an actual landscape or environment, let it show itself to you. And what does it look like?
I'm in a small space. It is like rock walls, so they're rough.
Okay.
It's very dark, and it's damp.
It's damp. Is it like a cave? Is that the type of?
It almost feels more like, I can't tell whether this is me intellectualizing, but what I see is reminiscent of old prison walls.
Okay, it's old prison walls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's sort of what, and I'd stamp. Let me ask you, does it feel inside or outside?
I'm definitely inside.
Definitely inside. Okay, that's what I was trying to get. So you're inside and it feels like old prison walls. Let's look around. Do like a 360. Are you in a cell of some sort?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, sorry. Yes, I am.
Okay. And then do you have a, you know, is there a cell door?
I can't find, must be one because I had, you know, how did I get here? But I haven't found it.
Okay.
There's
and,
a
go ahead.
There's like, I can see a bar of light up at the top about, mm-hmm. I guess, about the width of my arm, like an arm from the elbow to the fingertip
mm-hmm.
of just muted light.
Okay.
It's not direct sunlight, it's just light-ish.
And does that seem to be like toward a window or more toward a door? I'm trying to figure that out. And
I can't figure it out either. I can't figure it out either. It's as if the only thing that keeps me from completely panicking is that if I got in here, I must be able to get out.
Okay.
I just can't figure out how to get out.
Okay, so you're feeling also pretty stifled in there. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And okay. So can you feel the walls themselves?
Yes, they're cold and clammy.
Clammy.
You know, rock sort of sweat.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's
mm-hmm.
it.
Mhm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does. It sounds pretty. Yeah. It's pretty uncomfortable, and it's icky there, right? It's icky, and it's confining, and yeah. Okay. So you know, there's quite a bit of echo when I'm talking. Do you have two lines going?
Here. How's that?
I think that's better. Great. That's great. So how about this? How about I suggest that there is indeed a window?
That would be nice.
And so there is. And where does the window appear? Or did it not? Whoops, are you still there, Tabby? Because I can't hear you anymore. Hello? I just want to make sure that everyone can still hear me. Can someone type in the Facebook page or raise your hand if you can hear me? Thank you. Yep, we're still going. So somehow we have lost. Thank you for raising your hands, everybody. Tabby, I can't hear you. But you're still connected to the call. You're going to have to plug back in whatever you had on there. So, okay, I'm going to hopefully Tabby's going to come back, but since we're finishing up the call here, I'm just going to go ahead and teach from what happened there before she gets back, and hopefully we can get her next time as next week. So when our mind is not showing us a way out, we can suggest a way out and see if it will latch onto it. So you can either suggest it yourself, like I want there to be a door, so there is a door. I want there to be a window, so there is a window. And then you see if your receptive subconscious mind will accept it. And if it does, then you find your way out. Then we would get outside. Then we would get a bird. Then we would get a better look at whatever prison is going on there, whatever cell. If for some reason your mind will not accept a window or a door in this place, then there is a certain attachment that we have to this feeling that's pretty strong. So the next step, what we can do is make that environment as comfortable as you want. So in that case, I would say, can we get like a dehumidifier so that we can clean up the clamminess of the cell? If we can have a window that won't open, can it, if we couldn't get a window that we could get out of, could we get a window that would at least let light in? Could we get a better bed? Could we decorate it? And you just sort of see what your mind will accept in order to make the place that you're in better, so that you restore your power to not only choose, but to influence the feelings, the emotions, and the state of the environment that you're in. So that's the choices that we have when we're in landscapes that are not outdoors, that are confining, and that we have a long-standing history and attachment to. And at this juncture, that's what I would say we would do with Envision. We might move to a different type of thing after that, but then we could become aware how attached we are to this environment. There must be something that we're getting out of it, and we can explore that as well. Okay. So unfortunately, Tabby, are you there? I've got you unmuted and we still can't hear you. No. So I'm going to encourage you, Tabby, to volunteer again next week, but still your example was very, very helpful for everybody. And so since we are past the 90-minute mark and we got some really great examples, I'm going to go ahead and just ask one last time if there's any questions. Otherwise, I'm going to, you know, send you to the Oracle School to review this lesson. Practice with study buddies. I'm going to set a thread up so that you can find study buddies to practice with. And then we will get the new module that comes out Monday in your email box. And then you'll go into Oracle School and learn this, the next module. And then we will have our live call the following Thursday and do some more learning and some more coaching. And so I just checked the Q&A, and Tabby did say that she could hear me, but she somehow I couldn't hear her. And she was able to give herself a door, and she could feel a little bit of an attachment, and she was able to do the dehumidifier. Okay, very cool. I'm glad. Thank you for typing that in, Tabby. And so that helps us to all know that that did get resolved a little bit. So those suggestions, you just see what worked, and things got way better even if she wasn't able to leave. Okay. So thank you all so much. You know, I so appreciate being able to do this call with this community to share this wonderful process with as many people as possible. I'm there to monitor the Facebook page. Everybody listening to the replay, if there's anything you didn't understand, please feel free to post your questions there and I'll be sure to get to them. So that's going to be it for tonight. I'm going to post the replay very shortly after this. Bye bye for now.